The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your
Ethel,
turn.
Calm down.
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
That's what I'm talking about. Carlos Santana. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock now on this Friday morning. Some great guitar playing. Just some really tasty guitar playing from Carlos on that song, Europa. One of my favorite songs of all time. And earlier we were talking about today being the anniversary of the Monterey Pop Festival out in Monterey, California, 1967. Carlos wasn't there. His band wasn't there in 1967. But they were at the big festival a couple of years later in Woodstock, or at Woodstock, actually in Bethel, New York. But the concert, familiarly known as Woodstock, right? Have you ever seen the movie? Have you ever listened to the Woodstock album? Well, if you saw the movie, the Woodstock movie about the event, the documentary, you may remember Carlos and his band just tearing the place up. They were one of the highlights of the entire Woodstock Festival. But you may not realize it at the time. Their first album hadn't even come out yet. They were being managed by Bill Graham, who helped to put the festival together. He got them on the stage, and the rest is history, as they say. But when they came out to play, nobody really knew who they were. There's a new, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, taking a little break from all the politics of the day, there's a new documentary coming out about Carlos and his life now that he's, what, in his mid-70s or so. And I have a story here from People magazine about Carlos. Evidently, he did an exclusive interview with them, and it says, Carlos Santana recalls being, quote, higher than an astronaut's butt at Woodstock, thanks to Jerry Garcia. He says it was a real test. The subheadline says the legendary guitarist opens up about his star-making set at the 1969 festival in this week's issue of People magazine. Says here, Carlos Santana's set at Woodstock helped make him a star, but it almost didn't happen. The legendary guitarist, now 75 years old, opens up to People in this week's issue about the fateful festival and the ways in which he had to battle through a substance-induced haze to make it through. Santana and his band, which to this day bears his last name, were still up-and-comers in August of 1969, when promoter Bill Graham helped get them on the Woodstock bill before they'd even released their debut album. The Rockers were slated to play the second day of the festival, but right before they took the stage, Grateful Dead frontman Jerry Garcia offered up some hallucinogens, which Santana says was probably peyote, mescaline, ayahuasca, or mushrooms. Evidently not even sure what he took. He said, it was a real test. And the test was, you are higher than an astronaut's butt right now with whatever Jerry Garcia shared with me, Santana recalls. When I came out on stage, I was like, oh my God, am I going to be able to play? I can't even touch my nose, end quote. The smooth guitarist, who shares his life story in the upcoming Sony Pictures Classics documentary, Carlos, premiering June 17th, what's that, tomorrow, at the Tribeca Film Festival, says that as soon as he took Garcia's medicine, he started seeing colors swirling all around him and had to look to a higher power to make it through. He said, it was like being inside a kaleidoscope. And then somebody told me, trust in God. Just ask him to keep you in time and in tune. So I said, God, I really believe in you. If you help me right now, I won't poo my pants in front of everybody. Next thing I knew, we hit the notes and the people went, woo. Santana says he remembers Sly Stone's set being the absolute best, and Jimi Hendrix coming in behind him as a close second. His band, though, was third. Anybody else had to fight for number three with me and with our band, he says. When I look at the video, and even though I was there, it was Sly Stone, Jimi Hendrix, and Santana. And then there was everybody else. The band's 8-song set, though brief, was impactful, and soon they'd skyrocketed to international success. Santana says he was, quote, absolutely not prepared. for the fame that followed, and was even warned by Bill Graham about what was to come from life as a rock star. He said, "Bill Graham told me, after Woodstock, your head is going to be so big, you're going to need a shoehorn to walk into a room." And we were like, "Man, we're not like that." And he goes, "Trust me," Santana recalls. "Next thing I knew, we received our first royalty check. And I was like, oh, my God, look at all the zeros to the right." I said, "Take the check to Mom to get the house like you promised you were going to do when you were 7 years old in Tijuana. Go get the house, get the refrigerator, get everything you need." Carlos Santana recalling Woodstock, getting his first royalty check. And it sounds like that could be a pretty good documentary. Carlos, opening tomorrow, or at least premiering tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be in your local theater. Got 15 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Do we have any Santana ready to go?
That Aaron? We do. Samba Party.
Oh, let's play that. That's a great way to get out of this segment. Santana on the radio.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? We're the beers.
is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. The wind east becoming southeast at only about 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, sunny in the morning. Slight chance of an afternoon thunderstorm, 84. Scattered thunderstorms possible again tomorrow night and Sunday with a high Sunday near 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
That's what I'm talking about. Sly and the Family Stone doing one of the songs they did at Woodstock. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock right now on this Friday morning. Stu Daniels with you. Hope you're having a great day so far. Thanks for tuning in to your local Civic Media radio station. If you want to join us on the phone, feel free. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And believe it or not, I actually did get to see Sly and the Family Stone back in the day. It was 1971, the day after Thanksgiving, Kent State University in Ohio, just a year and a half or so after the four kids were killed, shot dead by Ohio National Guardsmen during a demonstration against the war in Vietnam. But the show was a great show. Sly and the Family Stone at the time, well known for being hours late to their shows, sometimes not even showing up. I think it was the year previous, 1970, when they were supposed to play Central Park in New York, had a crowd there of 500,000 people or so, but they didn't show up. So in order to make it up to the crowd, they said, well, we'll do a free show the following summer. And then they didn't show up for that show either, according to the legend. But the show that I saw in 1971, they did show up. But they were 4.5 hours late going on stage. They were supposed to come out at 8 p.m. And about 9 o'clock, some guy came out on stage and said that the equipment truck for the band had gone off the road in Pennsylvania or something. And they brought out a local band that went through all the material they knew and then started over and started playing songs a second time and finally got booed off the stage. And then at 12:30 a.m., Sly and the Family Stone finally hit the stage. And I guess they thought it was best to go start their set with "Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself," since that's what they were known for, being late. That song, "Thank You," lasted for 15 minutes. And then they went into the song we just heard, "I Want to Take You Higher." That song lasted for a half hour. And, or actually the second song they played was "Stand." That lasted for a half hour. And then "I Want to Take You Higher" lasted for 45 minutes. They only played three songs, but they played for 90 minutes. The show was over at 2 a.m. And, when they did come out at 12:30, only about half the people in the audience were left. It was a fun night for a 12-year-old kid. That's for sure. Sly and the Family Stone, some memories from the past. Hey, getting back to the current day. Did you hear what Trump did down in Miami after he got out of court on Tuesday, went into a restaurant, told everybody, "Food for everybody," as if he was going to pay everybody's tab. But then he skipped out. This is from HuffPost. After former President Donald Trump was arraigned on Tuesday in Miami, Florida, for allegedly refusing to turn over classified documents, he went to a Cuban restaurant in Little Havana to greet a crowd happy to see him. The crowd was probably happier when Trump told them, "Food for everyone." Although most people would consider yelling "food for everyone" as a tacit promise that the person yelling those three words is taking care of the bill, there is a difference between promising to pay for something and actually doing that. And yes, Trump is notorious for stiffing people, which is why he's reportedly had problems finding lawyers to defend him in all his current legal woes. So forgive the Miami New Times for being skeptical that Trump lived up to the promise and indeed treated his cult followers to what it described as a spread of Cuban food. The publication reached out to what it described as a knowledgeable source who assured the publication that Trump's stop at the Cuban restaurant was only about 10 minutes tops, so there was no time for anyone to order anything, much less get the bill to Donald Trump. The New York Times reported that Trump didn't get any food at the restaurant, preferring to eat McDonald's food on his plane. HuffPost reached out to both the restaurant and the Trump campaign, but no one immediately responded. So are you surprised that Trump says "food for everyone," giving everyone the idea that he was going to pay the tab? But then he skipped out on the whole thing. Stick around. Going to take a quick break. You're tuned into your Civic Media radio station.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Three people have been killed by a twister that tore through the Texas panhandle. Many are injured. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
In Perryton, hospital officials are telling us that the injuries range from broken bones to collapsed lung. Now, at last check, almost 500,000 customers across the South are without power.
A cyber gang in Russia suspected in a global attack on government agencies, including the U.S. Energy Department. Former Defense Intelligence official Bob Gourley.
This move at file transfer app is widely used because it makes securing data so convenient. It makes it easy to move data in a way that's encrypted.
Canadian mounted police say 15 senior citizens were killed when their bus crashed on the way to a casino in Manitoba.
Please know that the RCMP have sent every available resource to the scene and are working very closely with the medical examiner's office.
The bus is believed to have collided with a tractor trailer. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man died after a motorcycle crash on the on-ramp to I-94 from Highway 93 in Eau Claire. 56-year-old Stephen Berndt of Oliva was taken to a hospital in Eau Claire, where he died from his injuries. No other vehicles were involved, according to the Wisconsin State Patrol. Officials are investigating the death of a child on La Crosse's north side. The La Crosse Police Department is investigating, along with the Wisconsin State Patrol and the Wisconsin Department of Justice. No other details have been released about the case. And today is the opening of the outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls. The pool is scheduled to open today at noon. The pool, which was supposed to open last Friday, needed to delay its opening by a week due to a burst pipe that was discovered in the middle of last week. The pipe has since been repaired. And congratulations to Ithaca and St. Croix Falls for winning state baseball championships yesterday in Grand Chute. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Loving you, it'll all be there when
day. You're making me say that I somehow have changed. Today, you look into my eyes. I'm just not the same to be any more than all I am would be. I'm so full of love, I could burst apart and start to cry. Today, everything you want, I swear, it all will come true. Today, tell the world what it means to love. To go on from here, I can't use words that don't say enough. Please, please, listen to me. It's taken so long to come true.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. This Friday morning music from the Jefferson Airplane, band that was at both of those concerts that we've been bringing up this morning, the Monterey Pop Festival that started on this date in 1967. And then also we talked about Woodstock because of that new movie coming out about Carlos Santana, Jefferson Airplane, at both of those groundbreaking festivals. And I've got a couple more topics I want to get to here before the program closes up for the day and for the week. And since we've been discussing music and rock and roll and concerts and stuff, I found this interesting story in USA Today about Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen. Paul McCartney blaming Bruce Springsteen for epic length concerts. He says, it's your fault. And I'm sure this is just all fun, but this is from Patrick Ryan in USA Today. Posted yesterday, if you're sick of super long concerts, Paul McCartney is right there with you. During an onstage conversation with comedian Conan O'Brien at Tribeca Festival on Thursday evening, last night, the music legend bemoaned the growing fad of three-hour-plus concerts, a trend popularized by jam bands such as Fish and the Grateful Dead, but adopted more recently by pop stars including Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Quote, I blame Bruce Springsteen, McCartney joked, referencing the rocker's famously lengthy gigs. I told him so. I said, it's your fault. He ruined it for everyone, added the former late night host, who recorded the conversation for his Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. He did, McCartney said. We used to do a half hour. That was like the Beatles sting, and we got paid for it. I tried to work out why was it so short. Well, because there was a lot of people on the lineup. When you went to a thing, if you were a comedian, the promoter would say, how long can you do? 4 minutes? And the guy would say, yes. So we thought, half an hour? That's epic. But that was it. With a Beatles show, we were on and off like that, and it didn't seem strange. McCartney, who turns 81 years old on Sunday, was at the festival, Tribeca, to promote his new coffee table book called 1964. Eyes of the Storm, which compiles the singer's personal photos of the Beatles. The candid snapshots capture the Fab Four on the cusp of global stardom, culminating in their first trip to America and legendary performance on the Ed Sullivan Show in February of 1964. Throughout the hour-long talk, McCartney flipped through pictures and fondly recalled memories of each of his bandmates, starting with John Lennon, quote, I was a big fan of John's. We all were, actually, in the group, McCartney said. He was like a very cool guy, you know, very witty, very funny, but also very deep and real. These photos show that from an early age, end quote. Before they got famous, McCartney and George Harrison would go hitchhiking together. And there's a quote from McCartney saying, that's my little hitchhiking mate. And Ringo Starr always had a way with the ladies. There's a quote that says, "Ringo was like suave," McCartney said. "He had the best car. He would drink bourbon and 7-Up. Woo. And when he was going on a date with a girl, he'd put two cigarettes in his mouth and light them and then give one to her. He was that kind of guy," end quote. He also reflected on meeting singer Ronnie Spector and how the Beatles covered songs by the Ronettes, the Shirelles, and the Marvelettes. "You played a lot of songs by girl groups and promoted them, and they were songs you loved," O'Brien said. "Ringo would sing boys and didn't even change the gender. It was just, we're going to sing. Please, Mr. Postman, and baby, it's you." And that was, at the time, unusual. And McCartney says, "Mostly Black American music, really. As you said, Ringo sang boys, and we never thought that was strange. It was just a great song. I don't think we really worried about what the lyrics said." McCartney ended the conversation on a bittersweet note, saying, "What a joy it was to rediscover those family snapshots." Quote, "And seeing them after all these years," McCartney said, "good-looking boys." Referring, of course, to himself and the rest of the Beatles. Hey, don't forget that this Sunday, in addition to being Paul McCartney's 81st birthday, it's also Father's Day. Found an interesting story from the Green Bay Press Gazette by Natalie Eilbert. The headline says, "A Father's Day special. She searched all her life for her father. At 54 years old, she finally found him." This has got a dateline of Grand Chute. It says, "For 54 years, Melissa Kelly's birth certificate read, Father Unknown. Two words that, though matter of fact, left her hurt and ashamed every time she had to present the form. Those words carried a lifetime of questions. Nobody ever said she looked like her mother, so whom did she look like? Was her father alive? Could she find him? Was he kind? Could he ever love her? In place of a father was the story her mother told her, how she, a nursing student at University of Wisconsin-Madison, met a young sailor one fateful night in the 60s and never saw him again. 9 months later, she gave birth to a baby girl and named her Melissa. Quote, "When I was about a year and a half old, she tried to contact him through his family," Kelly said. "His father gave her the news. He recently married, and they had a 6-month-old girl. She decided not to tell him. She didn't want to interfere with his life." Throughout the years, Kelly made efforts to find him. Her mother had given her a name, Ronald Lee Burns. But without internet or computers, her search always hit dead ends. And even after she got her first computer in her late 20s and explored early iterations of the World Wide Web, she couldn't find what she didn't know. "I knew when I started asking questions that I had a sister, but I didn't know her name," Kelly said. "I had nothing to go on with her. I just knew I had a sister who was a year and a half younger than me." And so life went on. Kelly, originally from Kenosha, married a dairy farmer, had 4 kids, and moved to Grand Chute, where her family has lived for 30 years. But the litany of questions surrounding her father continued to linger as she watched her children grow and have children of their own. She couldn't bear the idea of never finding her father, even if it meant learning he had long since passed. Then she learned about 23andMe, a company that specializes in mapping a person's genealogy through a saliva sample. She ordered a collection kit. She matched with thousands of relatives, never anybody closer than a 5th cousin, Kelly said. Complicating the matter, because she was female, she didn't inherit the Y chromosome that would have given her easier access to her paternal side. Tracing her father's line, while not impossible, required much more digging. On Ancestry.com, Kelly filtered and clicked and filtered for around 12 years, navigating a sea of distant relatives. In that time, her husband retired from his dairy farm job, and she got a license to practice reflexology out of her Grand Chute home. She called her business Reflexologist Wellness Spa. In 2021, she lucked out. She found a cousin on her father's side by filtering out her mother's side. But his last name was itself a discovery. Ron Lee Burns, as he had lived in her imagination, was actually Ron Lee Burris, B-U-R-E-S. He was not only alive, but living in Grand Island, Nebraska. Quote, "When I saw his picture, I thought, oh my gosh, there's no denying this," Kelly said. "Whenever I'd look in the mirror, I didn't identify with my mom. Seeing my dad was confirmation for me. That was him." And the next quote says, "Well, we sure had beer goggles on," Ron Lee Burris said with a hearty laugh as he reminisced about his encounter with Kelly's mother. In 1967, Burris was fresh out of the service. He was in his 20s and enjoying single life when he met Kelly's mother. That phase of life came to a close when he met and married a woman in Madison. He went on to have 6 children. 54 years later, he retired from his life as a traveling salesman, where he picked up a passion for kayaking around the country. Today, he can be found on virtually any given body of fresh water with a fishing pole at the ready. 2 years ago, he got an odd letter from a woman named Melissa Kelly, claiming to be his daughter. He assumed it was a hoax, that is, until his cousin asked him if he'd read the letter and vouched for Kelly's story. His first communication with Kelly was on Facebook Messenger with a hand wave emoji. They started talking and realized quickly they had the same temperament, the same attitudes, the same rollicking humor. Burris invited her out to Nebraska, where he agreed to take a DNA test. When Kelly met him, it only further confirmed her intuition. They were both tall, sturdy, and big-boned. Kelly's mother, by contrast, was a petite, smaller-framed woman. And though her stepfather raised Kelly and her 4 siblings and continues to serve as an important part of Kelly's life, the two fathers, quote, "couldn't have been more opposite," end quote. Burris ushered Kelly around his town, introducing her to family with a big smile. Everywhere they went, friends and family embraced her. There was a seamless kinship, and nobody in his family seemed that surprised to learn he had a long-lost daughter. Quote, "I was a little bit wild when I was young," Burris said. After a big chuckle, he impersonated one of his kids and said, "Dad, are there any more?" Yeah. It's an interesting story. There's more to it if you want to check it out. It's in the Green Bay Press Gazette, as well as online and other places like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and other newspapers owned by USA Today. All right, going to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
so much greater than me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today. We'll see a high near 78 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, 53 the low. For Saturday, slight chance of an afternoon shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny and highs in the mid-80s. Saturday night, scattered storms, 62. And showers and thunderstorms for your Sunday with a high of 82. With weather, I'm Corey Hartman.
It's 60 at our studios.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
About 3 or 4 years ago, and the journey was long. She got a job at a local.
Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Friday morning. Stu Daniels here for a few more minutes, the final segment of the program. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a good day so far. I have another take on the vote that happened in the middle of the night in Madison concerning child care. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Headline says, Budget Committee Substitute $15 million Loan Program for $340 million Child Care Stabilization Request. This is by Eric Gunn, posted this morning on Wisconsin Examiner. It says, working into the early hours of Friday morning, Republicans on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee rejected proposals to put $340 million in the state budget over the next 2 years to continue a child care subsidy program that began with federal pandemic relief money. In its place, they proposed a revolving loan fund for child care providers, setting aside an initial $15 million to fund it. They also made changes to the Wisconsin Shares Child Care Subsidy Program aimed at easing a fiscal cliff that has socked families with sharp increases in costs when their incomes go up. The revolving loan fund would be administered by the Wisconsin Economic Development Commission, while the Joint Finance Committee retains the right to review and approve the details before releasing the money for the program. Under the change to Wisconsin Shares, which is administered by the Department of Children and Families, families would continue to qualify for the full subsidy with incomes up to 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. The change also would ease the loss of the subsidy above that level, reducing the subsidy by a dollar for every $5 in added household income. Currently, the subsidy threshold is 185% of the federal poverty guideline, and recipients lose a dollar of subsidy with every $3 in added household income. At the Department of Health Services, the Finance Committee agreed to spend $68 million in state and federal funds over the next 2 years to increase reimbursement rates for hospitals. The panel also approved paying more to primary care providers and emergency physicians and for behavioral health care. The GOP majority, the Republican majority in Madison, rejected extending Medicaid coverage for mothers beyond the current 60 days after they give birth, however, while a bipartisan bill has been introduced that would make that change outside the budget, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said this week he would oppose any such extension. The Republican majority's health department motion also includes a provision to block Medicaid payments for puberty-blocking drugs or gender reassignment surgery. The Finance Committee, which was scheduled to meet at 1 p.m. yesterday, delayed starting their deliberations until past 11 p.m. last night, concluding more than 3 hours later. I don't know. Kind of difficult to understand what the Republicans are thinking sometimes. 9:54 right now. Got time to get to one more story. This one from Rolling Stone. Trump demands Republican rivals pledge to pardon him or else. Subheadline says, behind the scenes, the former president has been sending his minions after Ron DeSantis, demanding he bend the knee after Trump's indictment. And I'll get into just a little bit of this story before we run out of time. It says, in the days since Donald Trump was indicted, his allies have had a unified demand of his primary, Republican primary rivals, promise to pardon the Donald or else. It's not an accident. In the days leading up to his arraignment, the former president worked the phones to vent about the case to his allies and discuss the way forward. According to a person familiar with the matter and another source briefed on it, Trump had one repeated request for his supporters: go on TV and social media and trash Ron DeSantis for refusing to commit to pardoning Trump. Trump's demand advances two goals. The first is to protect himself from legal consequences if he loses both the Republican primary and his federal court case. But given that Trump is telling allies he'll trounce DeSantis and all other primary challengers, the demand for a pardon pledge appears to be more a political move. The question itself offers a trap for any Republican who tries to engage with it: either side with Trump and use the occasion to keep him in the campaign spotlight, or share some uncomfortable real estate on the side of Joe Biden and the Justice Department. Quote, if you're Ron, you find yourself really in a really tough situation, because if you blast the Department of Justice and you blast Jack Smith and Biden, you're essentially defending Trump and admitting Trump was right. One MAGA-aligned Republican strategist tells Rolling Stone, quote, if you condemn him, there's no lane for you running on that. And then silence is an equally bad option because folks notice you not saying anything, end quote. The DeSantis campaign did not respond to Rolling Stone's questions about the governor's position on a potential pardon. Reached for comment, Trump campaign spokesman Stephen Chung sent a lengthy statement accusing DeSantis of, quote, hiding in a hole during Trump's Tuesday indictment and of running a campaign driven by consultants. So far, DeSantis has tried to mix condemnation of the Justice Department with silence on the subject of a pardon. On the day news of the indictment broke, he blasted the Justice Department and pledged that a DeSantis administration would bring accountability to the Department of Justice, excise political bias, and end weaponization once and for all, end quote. Special Counsel Jack Smith charged Trump with 37 counts of retaining classified information and obstruction of justice and keeping at least 31 classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago residence and attempting to hide them from federal law enforcement. The indictment includes damning evidence, including the transcript of what appears to be a confession from Trump that he took war plans he could have declassified as president, but didn't. Got to Trump's telling the his rivals that they have to say they'll pardon him or else. That's it for today's program. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you had a great week. I hope you're going to have a great weekend, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and enjoy your day.
Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.